Emerson radio program. This email says, Rick, find out if your cute little intern, Scotty J, would be interested in corresponding with me via email at IM. I'd love to tell him what I do while driving. Okay. I'll leave out the fact that he actually says, your little intern slut, Scotty J. All right. 503-733-2970. Todd the Corpse says, Rick, I think everybody should get off Foley's back. He just wants to take the Republican Party in an exciting new direction. There you go. Okay. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up this hour, we have CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard that will be joining. Yes, yes, I know, Scotty. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson.
Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Scotty's observation. You sure do have a lot of gay listeners. Okay. Yes, Scotty. Scotty did. Never mind. Aaron. Aaron, hello. How are you?
It's actually Storm.
Why does it say Aaron Geek in the City?
I have no idea, but I'm flattered.
Well done, Scotty.
Oh, hello, Storm.
Batting a thousand.
Scotty was too busy shoving the sandwich into his mouth.
Serving for gay porn.
I've been called a lot of things. Aaron, no.
Well, you can see how I'd make the mistake. Really?
Oh, yeah.
To the average person. What's up with you? What brings you to the telephone today?
Oh, I just called you because I miss you guys.
What's new with you?
Oh, I'm home for a little while. We got a big show at the Wonder Ballroom on the 13th, and so I'm home to practice and play with my balls and enjoy the fall a little bit and get out of L.A. for a few.
So what is it? So you were, because you did the contender thing, you sang the national anthem. So what is, are you just dividing your time back and forth? What is your schedule like these days? I mean, you got the Wonder Ballroom show, but I mean, are you just going back and forth between here and California?
Pretty much, yeah. I've got a place down in California now that I'm sharing with a friend of mine. And I'm going to Iceland at the end of November to go play with the house band. I'm going to be, the Blazers have asked me to sing the national anthem for them. Candidates Gone Wild up here.
Right on.
I'm hosting Fox Reality Television something awards. I can't remember. I've got it down.
My social schedule, it's all too much to keep track of, Rick.
It's not social, man. It's work.
But
it's crazy.
But let's back up to you going to Iceland. Is that a Magni thing?
It's a Magni thing. Magni's like the king of Iceland now. So, you know, the Supernova tour wasn't planning on going to Iceland, and he said, that does not please me. I will make something else happen that pleases me. So he's... Iceland Airline is flying the house band and me and Toby Solana out. After Thanksgiving to play a couple of shows in Iceland, Reykjavik.
I was just going to say, you're going to rock it. You can tell people you are huge in Reykjavik.
Oh, I am. I'm already getting emails from Iceland telling me what they want me to sing for them.
From Iceland, is it like a bunch of like emails where it's got like the backward Z and like an O with a line through it and a bunch of weird...
No, actually, they're like many countries, they're way more educated than most Americans. I get really badly spelled emails from Americans.
Storm, you hot me like love sweat. Yeah.
Well, sometimes, you know, the hip kid thing is to spell stuff wrong on purpose.
Yeah.
No, ignorance is cool.
The hip kid thing, or if you're a Republican congressman named Mark Foley, have you?
Oh no, yeah. See, this is the thing. I'm doing Candidates Gone Wild, and so I've asked Byron Beck from the Willamette Week to take me out to lunch and get me up to speed on what's going on because I've been kept in a box.
Yeah. Well.
So what's going on? What have the Republicans done today? It's
Sarah,
so exciting.
Would you like to take this opportunity to enact some of this instant messaging?
Okay.
All right.
I get the creepy part.
All right. Well, okay. Let's start about a third of the wage down here. I'll start with
Let me guess. Does it have to do with somebody underaged and someone old and creepy and Republican?
This is a 52-year-old Republican congressman. He resigned on Friday, but it's a Florida Republican congressman named Mark Foley, who, by the way, his whole platform, his whole charge was to rid the internet of indecency and to keep adults away from young people. Meanwhile, of course, he was engaging in all kinds of online sexual discussion and attempted, quote, rendezvous with underage male pages.
Oh, my God. Wasn't there a guy also who was a Republican congressman whose whole platform was to keep gays from being able to get married, and then it turned out he was, like, living a double life and, like, was having gay prostitutes come over and making his wife cower in the corner and watch.
You know, here's Jesus Christ.
It's
you
so
know,
awful.
Here's the thing. I don't even.
And then you got what's his name, Druggy Druggerson, who's talking about the world, ridding the world of junkies, and he's on OxyContin, like popping them like they're M&Ms.
Here's the thing about the gay legislator and the wife and the prostitute. I don't even know who you're talking about, but it's probably true. It just seems likely. Anytime you put moralistic, lecturing Republican and then hidden deviance in a sentence, you can never go wrong.
Dude, Strom Thurmond.
Yeah.
That's all you have to say. Strom Thurmond has a black child, and all he wanted was separatism. It's like, come on.
All right, so this is from ABC News. This is the transcript partial of a conversation between Congressman Mark Foley and an unnamed underage male page. We'll just begin this halfway through. Sarah will play the part of the congressman. I will be the underage boy. You can just start,
underneath cool.
Yeah.
How's my favorite young stud doing?
I'm tired and sore.
You're joking.
I'm not. It's right here.
No. It's right. You're tired and sore?
We're one sentence in and you're appalled.
Oh, my God.
Oh, your sister. Sister, you don't even know. And look, this whole.
You don't even know from what we had to black out that we can't even read.
You don't even. Okay, listen to this. Let's just move forward to the next page here.
Oh, my God.
Move to the. Okay.
Oh, you're missing some good stuff here, though.
What? Where do you even want me to start here?
I just finished the tired and sore. I didn't know.
Oh, tired and sore. I didn't know waltzing could make you sore.
From what?
What do you mean from what? From waltzing. I told you I was sore from waltzing.
That's good. You need a massage.
Oh. Tomorrow I have my first day of lacrosse practice.
I'd love to watch that. I'd love to watch those great legs running.
Tell me more about my eyes. They aren't great. That's why we have conditioning. I do 2 days of running and 3 days lifting every week until the end of March.
Well, don't ruin my mental picture.
Oh, LOL. Sorry.
Oh, my God. I'm reaching for the Ajax. Scrub myself.
Oh, no. Let's skip down to where he says, did any girl give you blank this weekend?
Okay.
Well, you can start with.
Did any girl give you blank this weekend?
LOL. No. I'm single right now. My last GF and I broke up a couple weeks ago.
I can't read this. Can I read this?
Sure.
Read it.
Are you? Good, so you're getting horny.
LOL. .. A little bit.
Did you blank it this weekend yourself?
No. I've been too tired and too busy.
And sore.
From all the waltzing.
Oh my God.
Wow, I'm never too busy. Ha ha.
Ha ha. Jesus Christ.
I'm tired.
Oh my God.
It helps me sleep.
That's true. I haven't been having a problem with sleep, though. I just walked in the door and collapsed, at least this weekend.
I sure am. I am sure.
I don't do it very often normally, though.
Why not? At your age, it seems like it would be daily.
Not me. I'm not a horn dog. Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
This is so horrifying.
Okay, I got to.
Okay, let's just stop now. Let's stop.
Oh, okay. So
we're coming up. Whoa. No.
You can't say that?
No. You really, really can't say that.
Okay.
Bill Clinton receiving favors from a young lady.
Okay. She wasn't. Underage.
No, they were consenting adults.
And there was some, I mean, it was kind of silly, kind of the things that were said and things that were done, but they were consenting adults. Yes, it was adultery, but.
Well, as we always say, you know what? We're not prudes. We're not moralizers. I don't care what anybody does. I don't care what anybody does with anybody else. Doesn't matter to me. Whatever your life, your relationship, your arrangement, your deal, whatever. It's fine with me. It's the difference between Tom Likas and Dr. Laura. You know what I mean? Where Tom Likas doesn't pretend to be a role model, doesn't pretend to live. He's not out there waving his finger in everybody's face and claiming you got to live by the law of Jesus and then trying to diddle an underage boy in a hotel room.
Exactly. It's like the Jim Bakers, the Strom Thurmonds, the what's the radio guy? The guy who was on all of Painkiller.
Rush Limbaugh.
Like they get up on a pulpit and without almost without fail, they get knocked down for doing the exact thing that, the exact same thing that they preach against. It's just
absolutely.
It's just funny and disgusting and awful.
And I hate that we got. I hate to do this. We got to run here, Mick.
No,
we got,
I know.
We
have, I'm not Aaron. And
no, well, no, and it sounds like a bad joke in the making, but I swear to God, there was this Amish school shooting.
I heard about that.
That Lisa Goddard from CNN is actually she just flew in. She just got into Lancaster, and so we're going to talk to her in a second.
So awful.
Well, so your gig is coming up, the Wonder Ballroom, October 13th. Can people buy tickets for that right now?
They can buy tickets for it right now, and I'll come by the studio and see you guys.
Please do.
I'll make an arrangement.
Yeah, it's been too long, absolutely. So come on in.
I'll come and see you guys this week.
Please do, and Sarah and I will give you we'll act out the rest of this for you in private.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So awful.
All right.
You guys
say hi to Davey. Later. There you
hi.
Go. There's a storm large, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Lisa Goddard from the...
She's in Pennsylvania.
Oh, I guess the hill music doesn't really... Wait, hold on. Let me... Hold on. I can find something here. Let's...
Why don't we just bring her on?
Okay, fine. I was trying to find... I had the Waltons theme somewhere that I thought would work out really well. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, a CNN radio correspondent, Lisa Goddard. Lisa.
Hello.
Hey, Lisa, how are you? You're in Lancaster?
I'm in Lancaster County, that's right. I'm near the community of Nickel Mines, which is it's an unincorporated area of the county.
And so we'll talk, I mean, there's a thing that, I mean, we've had to tell everybody because, not that I made a lot of this, but people, we've said this headline and people think that we're kidding about this because I think as Americans we view the Amish as being so weird or so funny or so, what a strange or whatever, but this is a serious thing. A guy, was he a member of the actual Amish church or the community or whatever, or was he an outsider?
No, he was an outsider to the Amish community. We don't know that he doesn't have Amish relatives. We don't think that he did, but no, he was drove a milk truck, worked overnight, you know, finished his shift at 3 a.m. last night, went home, took his kids, his three children to their bus stop, and then the Amish school where he killed three young women, and there's seven more right now fighting for their lives.
And, I mean, so is there any... I mean, was he, as they say, just plain nuts, or did he have some long-standing grudge? I mean, is there any reason to think that he was expected to be doing something like this? Oh, I think we've lost her.
Oh, no.
Now, am I cutting out on you?
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, your signal's a little choppy, but did they know, was he known to be unbalanced? Did anybody see this coming? All right. Well, okay, that's unfortunate.
Okay, I think, hold on, you got me?
Yeah. If you can still hear me, my question was just whether he was known to be unstable or was this a surprise to everybody?
Yeah, this was a surprise, at least that to his wife and those who knew him. He has no history of violence. He has no history of mental health problems. But you have to imagine, you know, the police say they think this does have to do with some kind of grudge going back 20 years. This is a 32-year-old man. 20 years ago, he was 12 years old. And the police say he was targeting young women more than he was particularly targeting the Amish. But they're not giving us any more details than that. He told all the young boys in the school, maybe about 15 boys, to leave. Then he told the few adult women, two or three adult women with babies, told them to leave. The school teacher there took the opportunity to run and get help. But then left were these 10 girls. And he bound them with wires, in some cases little plastic cuffs, and shot them, we believe, execution style on the blackboard.
Well, this is uncomfortably similar. I mean, it's horrible regardless, but this is really creepy because this sounds exactly like the guy in Colorado last week. I mean, down to the going into the classroom, asking the boys to leave, lining up the women, and then this guy in Colorado only ended up shooting him, and only, but it shot one. But this sounds very similar to what this nutcase did in Colorado.
Yeah, you're right. It is very similar to that. But in this case, we don't have, there's no indication that there was any sexual assault involved, which is different from what we know about in Colorado.
Here's a weird question. I know you got to run here, but is it hard for the cops to investigate the Amish community? I mean, is there like a sense of not cooperating? Are they very closed off to dealing with the authorities?
You know, the Amish community, I think socially they live their own lives, but that's because their beliefs are so different and they understand one another. But from talking to people here, there's no problems in terms of cooperating with the investigation. And if anything, there's tremendous sympathy and sort of an outpouring of grief for the Amish here. You know, but I don't think the Amish are not combative. They're proud, perhaps in a good way, but there doesn't seem to be any problems with that at all.
All right. Well, I will let you go. I know you've got a lot to cover there, so we will undoubtedly talk to you about this tomorrow. So thanks for taking the time to call in, Lisa, and we will talk to you about this as it sort of unfolds through the week.
Absolutely. Great.
Thank you. There you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Oh, the whole thing is just creepy. All right. It's a weird day. There's strange air out there. All right. We get back to expunge this from your brain. We get back. We'll talk more about lacrosse thighs and showering. It's what we do. Good God. All right. Chris Sneven from OregonLive.com coming up here in a while. Later on, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Try to sneak in the top five as well. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's the Dropkick Murphys. We're in town tonight. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. You know what I saw just a couple days ago? This music reminds me of this, which I hadn't seen it, but it'd been out forever, and it won an Oscar, and I never saw it. It was Hustle and Flow. What a great movie that is. I had no idea what to expect. That movie was just genius. It was unreal. I don't care what, it doesn't matter if you're, Sarah's giving me that look. That I'd never watch a movie about that.
No, I've watched it.
Really? You didn't like it?
I did not like it.
What didn't you like about it?
Everything.
Okay, but that means nothing. What did you...
No, I just... It bothered me the whole... I just didn't like it. I didn't see the beauty in making music out of somebody who lived their life in such a terrible way. I didn't like it.
Okay. All right, then.
And I hated the song.
Only uprighteous people should make music.
No, I went against what everyone else said. All my friends loved it. I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
That's a very judgmental tone you suddenly got in your voice.
It's not... No, I've had debates with Nate about this.
Well,
because
I'm not...
he's totally...
Well, I'm not going to pick a fight about it.
You know that
curious.
I don't like movies about smacking around bitches and stuff. When have I been a fan of anything like that? Never. Come on.
That is a fair point. Sarah Dillon has been decidedly anti-bitch smacking. No, that's a fair point.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, was this some kind of urban motion picture?
Yes. Yes, it had many of blacks in it. So
it had a lot of beating. And
that's not true. It didn't have a lot of beating. There was no beating to
there
be seen.
There was some beating.
I saw no beating of any
shoving.
Bitches. There was shoving of bitches.
There was shoving of bitches down the street.
Okay. Moving on. No, see, here's the thing. Sometimes,
no,
Sarah,
really,
you have
it.
To whoop that trick. It's just true. No,
oh, God.
No, here's the thing.
So obnoxious.
Here's the thing, though. As soon as you, you know, and I'm not, like it, don't like it, doesn't matter to me. I'm just going to say, as soon as I said it, though, you got that look on your face, though, and that tone in your voice, and here's the thing. I knew as soon as I said it, whether or not you like it, I could tell that you had already had this discussion with somebody, probably Nate, and that it ended in some sort of like, you just don't understand! You know, and it was just, I could already tell that you had a heated discussion.
That wasn't an agree to disagree. No, I've had a lot of people think it's wonderful.
Okay. All right. No, it's just funny. It was all over your face. I said, hustle and flow, and the whole look, you go, was, not this again.
Yeah.
Jesus God. All right. It's 503-733-970 and so forth.
Have you seen Hustle and Flow, Tim?
I did not.
No. I liked it. And I mean, but I liked it because, here's the thing, not to go on and on about it, but I liked it because they didn't feel the need to paint him as a fantastic guy. I liked it because they had the guts to show that he wasn't necessarily a good guy.
Who played Flo?
Yes, it's an exciting new cop drama. I'm Hustle. He's Flo. We're Hustle and Flo. I like the idea that they didn't, well, like, they didn't do, like, the Eminem thing, because, like, in 8 Mile, they had these where they had to paint everybody else as terrible, and Eminem had this halo over him, which clearly is like completely unrealistic. So I like the idea that they just had, that they had the guts to just make the guy not a great guy, that they had the guts to just make him sort of scummy and, you know, whatever. So I felt it was a realistic depiction of my black brothers, Sarah. That's what I'm saying here. Also,
that is the whitest thing you've ever said.
I am tired and sore. It's 503-733-297. And the funny thing is, as I was watching it, I was thinking to myself, I bet Nate would really like this film.
Oh, you did. I actually got up and left. I said I didn't see the whole thing because I left.
Oh, I see.
I couldn't even handle
it. I see
anymore.
You Joanied it. That's a Joanie. That's a whole lot of. I've seen 9 minutes of this film. I do not wish to see the rest.
I saw the majority of that film, and it just wasn't getting any better.
Okay. Yeah. All right. It's 503-733-2970. I'd like to think that I can spark further debate when you get home tonight. Maybe I'll have added to your evening conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, coming up later on, we got Chris Needham from OregonLive.com. We also got Peter Carlin from the Oregonian, who will come here and talk about his own bitch-smacking adventures. In the meantime, though, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, fears grew last night that George Michael is self-destructing.
Fears grew last night.
After he was busted for drugs in his car again. Like, this is a problem to anyone. It's not a problem to the public. It's not a problem to him. It doesn't affect his career or anything else. What is the fear, and who should the fear be for?
Well, that's... See, and...
Probably the fear for the people behind him because he passed out at a green light.
This is the only option I...
So the last thing he did was sex with a homeless man in the bushes, right?
He wasn't a homeless man. He was a mattress salesman.
Oh, sorry.
No, this
in
was...
a beat-up van.
This was going to be my only observation about Hustle and Flow, which is that... I don't know, like... No, this is my thing. When you said that you didn't want to, that the guy was he was scummy and came from like a bad, vile life and whatever.
No, but that has never impacted my taste in music or like judging somebody. I'm not judgmental. I didn't like the movie. I didn't. For you, for example, like the way how they painted him as dirty and not a good guy.
So
I didn't like him because
he wasn't the character.
I didn't like the character. I don't like.
You didn't feel he was somebody you could root for.
I didn't like that plot.
The whole the whole scrappy underdog makes good.
I just don't like seeing, I don't like
people achieving their dreams, Rick.
That is not what
I don't think
about.
That really happens in real
life. I like to see failure.
I just didn't enjoy watching him be such a terrible person,
That's the thing. He was a pretty unlikable guy.
Very unlikable.
You know the amazing thing about Hustle and Flow, though, and I know that maybe this makes me sound
nice. I guess it's for the unlikable demographic.
The thing about that movie, I have to admit, though, and then we have to move on to this George Michael thing, because I don't want to get even more behind. The amazing thing about this film, though, is that when, because the film finished, credits rolled, and I thought, man, what a great movie. And so speaking of the whitest thing ever, as soon as I finished, because I didn't see it in the theater, I saw it on DVD, because it was one of those things that everybody kept telling me I had to watch. And I'm like a lot of people where I sort of avoid stuff that has a lot of hype behind it. Because sometimes, like, and Joni and I had talked about this, where she has not seen it or hadn't seen it for the same reason, which is it was like the Sundance darling. And so I tend to avoid anything that Sundance stamps as being like the next work of genius because it's always crap. It's always like a bunch of happy Texas crap that I couldn't possibly care less about. So I watch it, and of course the whitest guy on earth is like, I have to watch all the supplemental features. And so I immediately go to the menu and I fire up the documentary, and it was like some white guy came up. Like, who's this white man in Hustle and Flow? And he's the guy that wrote it and directed it, which I was amazed by. So, because it does feel authentically urban.
Well, and the one thing is, I think I am biased against that actor because I remember...
Terrence Howard?
Yeah, I saw
a
movie...
He was in Crash.
No, not just in Crash. He was in this movie, was it about the Supremes or some movie anywhere where he was an abusive, like, alcoholic, really... Like, kind of the same character. He was a really mean...
He's got a niche.
I was a mean guy, and I just and seeing him play that same part again really turned me off.
I think the only thing I've seen him in was Crash, and see, that's the thing is, and I was actually predisposed to like him for the same reason because the last thing I saw him in, and I know that Crash is a really, really. Did you see Crash?
Oh, yeah, I own that.
Really? Mm-hmm. Crash is a really. We don't say divisive anymore in marketing. We say polarizing. It's a very polarizing film. And, man, you talk about a movie. You bring that up, and it's like half the room hates your ass just for liking that film. If you tell the wrong group of people that you like Crash, and I'm not talking about, and I don't mean, like, culturally. I mean, like, movie people. Like, movie geeks. I haven't, because I'm a loser, and so I spend a lot of time on, like, you know, like, Ain't It Cool, and just, like, other, like, movie message boards. And, man, you talk about a movie that just would divide the house every time. Anyway, but I loved Crash, and so I'm like,
And I do, too.
I'm there. Where are my keys? And so, all right, let's move on. Here's Tim. Let's agree to disagree. Let's never mention it again.
Uh-uh.
Is that an automotive drama, this Crash motion picture?
You saw Crash, didn't you? With Matt Dillon and Terrence Howard Sandra Bullock. And
it was forgettable.
Yeah.
Brendan Fraser.
Sandra Bullock, by the way, who really does have the whitest of all moments. You know he's just telling his homies right now about this place. All right.
She is unlikable in that movie.
She really is. She's the one clinking note in that entire movie for me. Even Brendan Fraser, who... I mean, I've seen better acting out of a rock. She is just so terrible in that movie. She's so awful and unlikable. And she's just... That sequence, I know we're totally up the point now, but in that movie Crash and she's crying to her, you know, her Mexican maid. Oh, you're the best friend I have! You know, and the maid's just going, give me a raise. Give me a something, you know. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, some elementary school students and parents in New Jersey say a ban on cupcakes is ridiculous. Principal Ruth Ann Clarence announced the cupcake ban this year in a bid to battle childhood obesity.
You mean like real cupcakes?
Yeah, she told parents they can no longer bring
girls
to celebrate birthdays.
Okay, that was like a girl showing their cupcakes kind of a
cupcakes.
Thing. All right.
Yeah, because it's been so
miles
upon.
Well, you can never tell when a congressman's going to be coming by.
Well, that's true. Instead, medals are given to kids on their big day. They can swallow these. Parents are complaining to the district that it's a tradition to bring cupcakes to school on birthdays. Others disagree.
Okay.
A fierce squirrel attacked a 4-year-old boy at Mountain View's Cuesta Park. This is where is this Cuesta Park? Somewhere back east. Anyway, they said today that as many as 6 people have been beaten or scratched by a squirrel since May.
This is like Sarah's thing about the squirrels rising up against us. So
and the attacks are becoming more ferocious as the days go on.
More anecdotal evidence.
Squirrel even went as far to jump into a child's stroller. Efforts to curb the behavior must be accelerated as squirrels are exhibiting more aggressive tendency.
Christ. All right.
The city hopes to launch a trapping program as early as this week when a series of metal barrels will be installed in the trees.
You know, squirrels are freaky, too,
why
man.
Why would squirrels jump into a barrel on a tree? How stupid could a squirrel be?
I don't know.
There are children in these barrels. Please jump in and take a look.
tasty children inside. It's just freaky that squirrels have... Like that, I mean, I know that this doesn't impress anybody else, but I mean, like when you see a squirrel jumping from a tree to a power line to a cable to the whatever, to the top of a house or whatever, it's freaky, man. It's like, no matter how many hundreds of times I've seen it in my life, the image of a spider or an insect that's able to crawl directly up a freaking wall and onto the ceiling, that's just weird and wrong. I mean, people don't realize this, that animals, we are alone here in that humans have no superpowers. Do you think about that? Animals have all kinds of stuff that if humans had them, you would think they were goddamn superheroes. Spiders can crawl right up a freaking wall. It's insane. Dolphins and bats have sonar. I mean, they have superpowers. It's just their size and lack of relative organizational skills that just kept them from rising up against us. You think I'm crazy? I'm not going to... Think about this. You want something that, as the Oracle would say, is really going to bake your noodle?
Yes.
If you're high, the next time you're high, I want you to think about the chameleon.
The next time I'm high.
The next time you are high. Say, this is for the people. Oh, this is for the kids. You high school students, the next time you are high, I want you to think about the chameleon and think about how freaking weird chameleons are. Now, I had a chameleon when I was... I actually had a couple. I had a couple pet chameleons when I was a kid, and it was just... It's weird beyond weird. Now, I had this chameleon, and I would let him... I would let the chameleon kind of walk around my bedroom, and I had actually... my bed, I had a sort of tan... like a comfort, like a quilt thing, and then underneath it, the sort of bed sheet was green. And so the chameleon would walk along, and literally he would be sitting on the sheet part, and he's green. And then he walks over a little while later, walks under the comforter, which is brown. Chameleon, brown. That is messed up. I mean, first of all, how does the chameleon know what color something is? Because I think they're colorblind. I think I remember reading somewhere the chameleons actually only see in black and white. So how the hell does he know what green even looks like? Secondly, even if you knew what green was, how do you turn your skin green just by thinking about it? I mean, what kind of messed up crap is that? That's just goddamn weird is what it is. If Sarah had the ability to just turn her skin purple by thinking about it, we would think she was a witch, and we would beat her to death with goddamn rocks right now. If you look at my friend, he can turn himself pink just by thinking about it. Now watch, he can walk straight up walls. You treat that with fire and lots of it. That's how you get rid of that kid.
Just like powder.
Yes, it's exactly like powder. I'm just saying,
wow,
squirrels.
This is way too much to ask for.
I'm saying,
I can't pull myself out of this thinking trap.
I wonder how chameleons do sense.
That's what I'm saying. It's weird and terrifying. If you think of, like, if you let yourself think about
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get started again.
No, if you let yourself think about, for example, chameleons. We were talking about sharks the other day because Sarah sent. Well, I got a picture. I got to post that picture. That pic, as Mark Foley would say, that shark. You know, the thing is, if you look at that shark picture you sent me, you can see that conveyor belt of teeth I was talking about.
Where they just kind of bloody near the bottom, too.
Yeah, it's because he was just eating babies. It's what they do. They're going to eat your bones, all of them. All right. Do you know there are creatures that live on the ocean floor that manufacture their own light so they can trap prey? How bizarre is that?
And the crocodile, that we've never even
ask the crocodile under hill tell
eggs. Crikey. And they've got, there's those fish that have that lure that like hangs off their head that glows in the dark. It's sort of like a carrot on a stick, except it's part of their body. Mm-hmm. That ain't right. That's just weird.
They look
great
in aquariums.
Yeah.
Jesus.
All right, anyway. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, for their own safety, the Iraqi parliament today renewed the emergency powers of their national unity government.
I love anything that starts with, for their own safety.
It'll now be in effect for 30 days. Don't even poke your head out the window or stare at passersby.
It's the sound of freedom, kids.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. We read this. This is some hate mail for Scotty J. Scotty J's parking crap. If you work in downtown Portland, there is no excuse for not taking public transportation. Walk, bike, park and ride. You are a complete chump if you pay $165 a month for parking. I take the bus and would love to enjoy the luxury of the clean fest and quiet max. Scotty J, you think you're above the people on public transportation? This email continues angrily in all caps. You're a goddamn intern. You work for no money in a career where your opportunities to make any money are extremely slim. Just think of the max as your own personal limousine with your smelly friends riding along with you. Besides, freaks on the bus make for interesting commute and fodder for talk radio. Signed, Rob. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see here. This is Jared. Jared, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. Chameleons, they only see tone. Like, shades of gray, basically.
That's what I'm saying. So how do they turn green?
Because all they have to do is match tone.
That's not true.
It's like working in a paint store.
You can fool them. You can fool them with like colors like red and green. If you put them on something red, they'll see it as green.
And they really so okay. So you can't.
Right,
so they
or blue, red because most of those colors are combinations of other colors.
Right.
So you can fool them with complicated colors.
All right. It's just bizarre, though. You know what it is? You know people that can wiggle their ears. You know.
Hey, you know what? What about moving your eyes in different directions? There are some people that can do that.
Dennis Pitzenbarger can do that. Dennis Pitzenbarger can move one eye to the left and one eye to the right, like at the same time, and it's weird.
That'll be great for his new TV show.
It's messed up to watch.
That just comes from years of wearing contact lenses.
Can anybody here wiggle their ears?
I can.
All right.
Doing it right now.
All right. See, that's what I'm saying. Wiggling your ears is one of those things. That, like, to the person who can do it, it ain't no thing. If you can, as Woody Allen would say, if you can do it, there's nothing to it. It's not impressive at all. But to all of us who cannot wiggle our ears or roll their tongue, yes, that's another one.
So well, you know how people have to hold their nose to pop their ears on an airplane?
Yes.
I can just do that at will, without having to
create
that pressure dynamic.
Like, imagine if you were just able to change the color of your hair by thinking about it. I mean, that's really what we're talking about when it comes to chameleons. It really is. I mean, that really is Dr. Xavier, you know, Magneto is.
I want some superpowers. Anything that's made out of stucco, by the way, like squirrels.
Yeah.
Anything that's made out of stucco, I've seen so many squirrels, they just climb right up the side of it, like a spider.
See, they're preparing. There's going to be an onslaught. We're going to wake up, and there's going to be the pitter-patter of thousands of little feet.
We're feeding them.
That's the thing. That's the thing is, you are sustaining them. You are fueling their rise to the top of the food chain.
Just a couple more peanuts and we're doomed.
All right.
Bye.
Oh, peanuts. All right. Quickly, Jared?
Yes, sir.
You could have any superpower. It would be what? Go.
The ability to make people fear me.
I already fear you, Jared. All right. Thank you. There you go. Sarah Dillon, any superpower? Go.
I'd want to be invisible.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Or fly.
Now you got to choose one.
Oh. Hmm. Invisible.
All right. Tim Riley, any superpower? Go.
Good. I'm glad you didn't pick that. I want to fly.
I have dreams all the time where I'm flying.
Really?
I feel like I have, yeah.
Do you have a lot of those falling dreams, too?
No, I just have flying dreams.
Just flying, really?
Yeah, where I can make myself fly wherever I am.
Now, do you have, like, lucid dreams? Like, where you can you control your dreams?
Yeah, I sometimes do. I have full-on, all-night, like, epic dreams.
Now, see, I'm so jealous of that. All my dreams don't make any sense. My dreams are just so...
I have a lot of dreams about the end of the world.
See, my dreams just don't make any... They're all just fragments
yeah,
of crap.
Yeah, but rather have them be fragments of crap than dreams that, you know, scare you.
I really... I'm jealous. I don't resent them, but I'm jealous of people that have big, epic story-type dreams where it's a big, you know, there's a thing that happens and then there's a majestic, you know, climactic moment and then everything is... My dreams are just... Like, literally, I was just telling you about this during the break, actually. I don't even have really dreams so much. It's just these weird images that loop in my head. You know that Don and Mike promo where they're talking about the guy who won all the money from the radio station because the number was written in the studio? And it has that moment at the end where Mike goes, so the DJ can see it. I had that promo just looping in my head all night while I slept last night.
I do that when I have anxiety. Like, when I can't fall asleep and I can't shut my mind off, things repeat.
That, and I have lots of dreams where my teeth fall out.
That's stress.
Oh. All right.
What about you? What would your superpower be?
I would also say invisibility. Yeah. Wait? Yeah. The thing about being invisible, though, is if you were invisible, think about this. If you were invisible, you'd be blind. People don't realize that.
Huh?
Think about that one. No, it's true. Because the only reason you can see is because... I sound like Bruce Agler. The only... You know, the thing about invisibility...
Wait, then I don't want to be invisible if I couldn't see.
Nobody could see you, but on the other hand, you couldn't see anything else. You'd be bumping into crap all the time. No, because the only reason you can see is because images bounce off the back of your retina. And if you're invisible, like, images just go right through you. You'd just be wandering around with a cane. So really, it'd be a bit of a wash. Okay, let's do one more and then we'll break.
These discussions have been much too deep in the past.
Can I just tell you, though, that they're really... I'm telling you right now. There is no other radio station on earth that provides the people with this kind of discourse. Just think, in the course of one day, right here, we've had Storm Large, we had news about Iraq, we had sexual instant messages involving soreness and lacrosse, and we've had what superpower would you rather have? And we got a whole other hour left.
People are going to be expecting a pledge break that lasts 15 minutes.
Yeah. We don't have anything to give away, though. No, that's not true. We've got Tim Conway and Harvey Korman tickets. Don't forget, that's coming up November 17th. Tim Riley and I will be there. We'll be doing the introductions as well. And you know what sucks is I'm not going to be here for the Storm gig. That's what I'm really bummed out about. I'm not going to be here for the Storm thing at the Wonder Ballroom. I'm very distraught about that. All right, let's do one more, and then we'll break. We'll come back with these phone calls and Chris Sneathan.
Let's do a Hick Watch.
Here's your Hick Watch.
Copenhagen, make your fears true. Copenhagen, we got no issue. Well, I put a little shoe in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house.
Hey, oh.
Copenhagen makes me feel so good. Oh.
This comes to us from Caney Creek, Ohio.
From what?
Caney Creek, Ohio.
Okay.
Dad is fired up because the Conroe Independent School District uses the book Fahrenheit 451 as classroom reading material.
Wait, let me guess. This is a hick demanding that we remove Fahrenheit 451, which is itself about removing books, from a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Bam!
His name is Alton Berm.
Yes.
And he lives in Conroe.
What's his name?
Alton Berm. V-E-R-M.
That sounds like a made-up name.
It does.
Alton Berm. That's fantastic. Okay.
Sounds like something that finds your way into your skin.
All right.
He objects to the language and content of this book. His 15-year-old daughter, Diana, sophomore, came to him September 21st with her revelations about reading the book because of its language. The book had a bunch of bad language in it. It shouldn't be there because it's offending people. And if they can't find a book that uses clean words, they shouldn't have the book at all. Well, Alton Berm.
Berm.
Fire. Get this. He filed a request for reconsideration of instructional materials, like he wrote that, with the district regarding Fahrenheit 451, written by Ray Bradbury, published in 1953. He wants the district to remove the book from the curriculum. It just has all kinds of filth, says Mr. Berm, adding that he couldn't read it. He looked through the book and found the following things wrong with it.
Oh, let me understand this. So he didn't actually read the book itself. He actually just picked through looking to find isolated instances of things out of context. Okay.
Discussions of being drunk, smoking cigarettes, violence, dirty talk, and references to the Bible using God's name.
Any adult who actually uses the phrase dirty talk in this context should just be... That man should be prevented from having any...
He should be a Republican congressman.
When is the last time anybody here read Fahrenheit 451?
Oh, gee.
I just read it again last year because I hadn't read it forever and ever and ever.
I saw the movie.
And, you know, then Tom Cruise is remaking that, actually. There's going to be, he may not be doing it now, but I know that he had, Tom Cruise had optioned the rights, I swear to God, to remake Fahrenheit 451, which is more than a little ironic in a lot of ways. But, man, I went back and because, I don't mean to be morbid, but, you know, because Bradbury's going to snuff it any day now because he's like 90-something and he had a stroke.
Can we bring him up here for a day?
Can he wear a bathrobe for the day? Does he know any jokes? You're a bad person. Why do you have to make everything about death, Tim Riley?
I didn't. I wasn't even suggesting it. I'm thinking about a command performance.
You know that if I hadn't mentioned that he was still alive, you immediately would have said, "Isn't he dead?" Since that's your default, it doesn't matter. No matter, you know, Dennis Pitchenbarger could skip a week. Isn't Dennis Pitchenbarger dead?
Well, I think that's everyone's curiosity.
About Ray Bradbury or anybody?
Anybody, really.
It's true.
They haven't been out of the public eye for a while.
Okay, there's your Hick Watch. Let's break now. For the love of God! Back after this with Chris Sneathan and so forth. We'll get these phone calls as well. You stay right there.
Copenhagen, the way I know it should. Well, I put a little shoe in my mouth, go spinning, slobbering on around the house.